and welcome, friends, to the Generations Broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson, a homeschool father of five, raising our children out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado, and trying to figure out a way to apply the Word of God to a situation that is, I'd say, on this side of dysfunctional. Things breaking down around us, the social system's breaking down, economic system's breaking down, and they tend to interrelate here. When your social systems break down, your economic systems probably will break down as well. And 70% of young men not grown up by 30 years of age, up from 30% in 1970, is a statistic we've quoted many, many, many times, reported by Newsweek magazine some 2-3 years ago, and of course, covered by other news sources ever since. Recently, I believe it was Bill Bennett who wrote an article for CNN and said that young men, 20 to 30 years of age, the most unmotivated, unproductive group in America today, probably more unmotivated, more unproductive than they've ever been in human history. And by the way, twice as many girls with bachelor's degrees at 23 years of age than boys. And I'm not saying that the bachelor degree is the end all and be all of preparing a young person for work today. In fact, the college bubble is about to bust as far as I'm concerned. But it is an indication that girls are at least motivated to do something. Boys aren't doing much of anything at all. And that's the problem we're dealing with today. It's a social problem, and it's affecting homeschools as well as private and public schools. I don't think homeschools are doing that much better than public and private schools in preparing their boys for life. Boys are abandoning materialism for more and more escapism, which means they're less and less interested with reality, with preparing for life, or getting out there and doing something, raising a family for the glory of God and seeking the kingdom. Rather, they're just escaping into the world of the internet or the world of games or the world of just plain old-fashioned entertainment and escape. Well, friends, there is a group of young men out there that are bucking the trends. Praise be to God, they're bucking the trends big time. And it thrills my socks off to find these young men creating entrepreneurial endeavors everywhere. I'm seeing it all around me. I'm seeing it constantly. And by the way, we're going to make this an important part of our Family Economics Conference coming up in Chicago in March of 2012, because I think this is important. We've got to get something into our young men. If we're going to see our children, our grandchildren survive economically or socially in the years to come, we've got to see some vision in our young men in this area. So the rise of young entrepreneurship is very, very encouraging to me. It is a burgeoning movement across the country. And I like it because entrepreneurship maximizes freedom, but absorbs more risk up front, of course. It also sets up more opportunities for family integrated economies. And I like that about entrepreneurship. It also allows for more flexibility, because if you're not flexible, friends, this changing economy is going to eat you alive. So if you don't have some level of entrepreneurial skills and some flexibility and some basic skills in your involvement in the economy, friends out there, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. By the way, entrepreneurship also allows for mentorship, which usually produces a higher level of character overall. And for these reasons, friends, the trend towards young entrepreneurship is very important to me. And we're going to be talking about this on this program today in just a moment. Brandon Crawford will join me from Georgia. Be back in just a moment. Young entrepreneurship on the next edition of Generations. Stay with me.
Are you tired of running the corporate rat race? Are you struggling to make healthcare choices? Are you looking for a better job? Maybe even a job that your entire family can be involved in? Do you want to take your family to the next level? The 2012 Family Economics Conference is designed to help family with the vision and resources to make practical steps to build their family's economy. From practical household budgeting and finance, to starting your own business, to making wise decisions about college and career preparation, the Family Economics Conference has something for everyone. There will even be a special Proverbs 31 track for the ladies' role in the family economy. For more information, or to sign up online, go to www.familyeconomics2012.com. That's familyeconomics2012.com.
Now we're back on the Generations Radio broadcast today, friends. We're talking about something very hopeful, something very important, I think, for the future of this nation. That is young entrepreneurship. And we've given you several examples of this across the country. Now another example of a young man who's getting involved, getting his feet wet, jumping into the deep end of the pool and starting out with some young entrepreneurial endeavors. And with me today is Brandon Crawford from Jackson, Georgia. Brandon, welcome to the program, man.
Thanks, Kevin.
It's great to have you here. And I know I met you at the marriage conference, I think, in North Carolina, wasn't it, a couple of months ago?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Now, tell me a little bit about yourself. You handed me your card. You're a very professional young man. I was very impressed with the way you approached me. And how did it all start for you? What are you, 20 years old now?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So 20 years old. So what happened? Obviously, you were raised by parents. You had a family. How did they educate you? What was the raising?
Well, we were homeschooled from preschool on through high school.
Okay.
And my dad is an IT professional, and he got into IT, and he didn't do any college. Mm-hmm. So he is a self-taught IT consultant.
Gotcha.
And he's pretty well busy most of the time, even in this depressed economy, because of the level of IT that he supports.
And so your folks homeschooled. Your mother did most of the work early on, I would suppose.
Well, my dad actually worked for Compaq before Compaq got bought out, and then worked for HP for a little while. And he did a lot of telesupport. So he was home for most of my life before I turned about 12.
But how did you prepare for your work life? I mean, here you are. You're a young entrepreneur. You're getting into real estate, a security company. Your brother is involved in franchising, as I understand.
Mm-hmm.
How did you get that vision? What happened? How did you prepare for that?
Well, my dad, he used to work in an office, and when he did that, he would collect the aluminum cans. And, you know, if you take the aluminum cans, you can get, you know, like 5 cents a can or whatever,
yeah.
Depending on where you're at. He would give those cans to my brother and I, and his deal with us was we couldn't just spend the money. If we were going to get the cans, we had to get the money, spend it on something else, and make more money. That he's like, I'm not just going to give you this. You've got to turn it into more money.
Yeah.
And I was probably 5 when that was going on.
Okay. Okay. So he's starting very early on. I think that's a good lesson. Yeah. It's very important. So it started at 5 years of age and pretty much continued nonstop.
It was little things like that. My brother and I both went and did paper routes when we were around 10.
Mm-hmm.
We would spend our money on candy at the local CVS when it went on sale, and we'd resell it at home. Or my brother would send boxes of stuff to work with my dad where he'd sell it at work.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
From there, my brother actually went into a adult tricycle that he had. They built a concession booth onto an adult tricycle, and he started Crawford Concessions in Northwest Ohio, where we lived at that point, and he would go out to the ball games and that kind of stuff and do his concession business.
So how old was he when he did that?
He was probably between 12 and 15 at that point.
Okay. Okay. Okay, on into your later teens. What are you doing at 15, 17, 18, 19?
I was doing a lot of study mostly at that point. I researched constantly. I was working for my brother at his ice cream restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
But I did also a lot of the camera work and stuff with my dad up at the store. And from there, my dad's like, well, you know, what would it cost? What training would it take to be able to do this camera work for the other franchises? Because we had an in with the other franchises to be able to handle their security stuff. And so we were doing the research on it. And he's like, well, okay, it takes like 2 years under a license. Low voltage technician to be able to get your license. And so we started looking into that. I'm a people's person.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So my dad and I both interact well with people. We go, when I came up to you, we do that constantly.
Mm-hmm.
We go up to people and we just start talking to people and it doesn't bother us. We can do that and we do that all the time. We just talk with random people.
Do you think that's basic for somebody who wants to be involved in the economy as an entrepreneur?
Not specifically. There are several types of entrepreneurship. My brother doesn't do so much, but he's in the more retail industry. I'm the service-based industries.
Okay.
I went and I got my And I was going through town on my way home from work one day, and I saw that the local real estate agency was said, hey, we're hiring. At that point, I was 18, and I'm like, So I stopped by, and I'm like, do they even hire 18-year-olds? Because I'm like, I could see doing that. That would be fun. That would be, you know, I'd be in the community. I'd be constantly moving, and there's potential income there. And the managing broker there that was hiring at the time said, yeah, we hire 18. So I pursued that. But then I also then called a couple of several different security companies and ended up a week later getting a call back from one of them. And his simple question was, can you drill holes? Mm-hmm. Now, I've done cable running and a lot of construction just around the house with my father, and I got the job with this security company because I had the ability to drill holes in studs.
Okay. Which isn't that difficult. Just
something as basic as that mm-hmm. is what a lot of people are looking for, mm-hmm. Is just little basic skills that so many people have lost nowadays. Mm-hmm. And so from there, you know, I went in and I've been working with this guy for almost 2 years now. It'll be 2 years in January. And I'm looking to take over the security company. I'm going to take my classes here in the next few months to get my low voltage license. But, you know, I'm working towards that. But like I said, I'm in the service-based industry, both real estate and security systems. Mm-hmm. You're providing a service. And so being able to go up and talk to people is crucial when you're in a service-based industry.
Yeah. You got to be able to sell. We got to be able to sell no matter what you're doing, especially if you have mm-hmm. your own business.
Yeah. And you got to be a salesman, and that was it. And you really do have to be able to sell yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be able to talk to people, and people have to like you. And you have to come across as being a real person, not mm-hmm. someone that's just a fake, another trained salesman.
Yeah. Now, your brother has his own franchise. You're about to own this security company. Mm-hmm. What is the benefit of operating your own businesses, do you think?
It allows you to bring family along. A lot of the time now, work environments are not family friendly. They're not children friendly.
Mm-hmm.
So fathers no longer mentor or bring their children along to work like they used to. It used to be about the age of 12 or 13, every young man went to work with dad. Dad taught him his trade. And even if you didn't follow that same business path, you had it to fall back on that if everything else goes wrong and there's no work in the industry that you went to work in, you can fall back then on the trade you were taught as a child working alongside your father.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very good for young men, especially preteens, mid-teens, to be working with their fathers because you probably know having kids, idleness is what breeds sin.
Yeah. Yeah. And it breeds poverty. And you mm-hmm. mentioned diversification. I think that's really critical. I hear this from a lot of homeschooling fathers with a bit of vision out there who are raising their sons for a very volatile economy, may I add. And they have got to diversify. They got to prepare their sons to diversify. They are training their sons in various aspects. Sometimes they send their kids to college, but at the same time that they're sending their kids to college, they're giving them a couple of skills on the side so that they know mm-hmm. how to do five different things, not just one thing. And I think that's going to stand them in good stead in bad economic times. But what about, you know, what you're doing? I mean, what you're doing is commission-based. You're going to deal with boom and bust. How do you deal with that?
Because of the industry and real estate, that is, you do what you can when you can.
Yeah.
And it's more of a supplemental income than anything. It's when you can do that. And what I liked about what I went and gone, real estate, is if you're in a security company, you have customers that are regular customers.
Yeah.
And you meet a lot of people, and as a security guy, everyone trusts their security guy.
Yeah.
And so people that I know that are contractors that do drywall, framing, anything like that, or me who's in real estate, if the security guy says, hey, I recommend these people, most of the time people go with that because they trust their security guy.
Yeah. I think it's very, very important to diversify in the sense that you can create a network of people who could use multiple services or interact with your businesses mm-hmm. in various ways. And so I think, you know, if you have some connection between one of your operations and another operation, that's very, very helpful. Some of the customers that serve one particular aspect of your service will come and frequent the other part of it as well. So I think that's a really, really good idea. And then you can build in that way. You can build your economic situation in a mm-hmm. very productive manner.
Yeah. People like, especially family-based businesses, mm-hmm. and they like small businesses that are large enough and that are professional, but at the same time are small enough that you call the phone, you get a real person every time.
Yeah.
And my younger brother has expressed interest in being able to do like lawn service. Mm-hmm. And as he gets older and can drive a truck and trailer and that, my network of people around the Atlanta area will help. Because if you're in the service area, my brother's lawn services, and that builds his business as well. Hmm. And my dad's really tried, first of all, he interprets the verse in scripture that says, train up a child in the way they should go, as not the way you think they should go. You watch for their natural tendencies, and you train them up towards what their natural abilities are. So for my brother, it was the franchising. That's something, retail has been something he's been interested in and expressed an interest in for years. Me, I prefer the service industry and animal husbandry stuff. So he's trying to build us into independent people, but that we can self-support. Mm-hmm. That our family members can mutually support each other, help each other's businesses to grow, and support each other's families in hard economic time.
Let's talk about your brother for just a moment. Franchising. I mean, what is the franchise? Did you buy into this franchise?
Well, there was a local homeschool father who owned a Brewster's ice cream franchise, which anybody really that's familiar with the franchise knows is pretty good ice cream. But he was looking to get out of it. He was working on other things. He was tired of the business. And my brother was, I believe, 16. He may have been 15. I believe he was 16 at the time that the dad went, he's homeschooled. That means he can make ice cream because the store makes all their own ice cream. Mm. And he's most of the time in fast food, you hire teenagers. You hire high school students. Well, high school students can't come to work until after school. So being a homeschooler, he very quickly became a crew leader and an ice cream maker and had a lot of pull in the store. Because of that, and, you know, had expressed the interest, and the owner said, you want to buy it? And he did that when he was 17. Hmm. He and my dad took over operations and purchased the business from him. Hmm. There is, you know, franchise fee involved and royalties and that kind of stuff. And, you know, which franchise you go with, you know, every franchise is different. Mm-hmm. And you just really have to weigh the cost and the benefits of it.
Mm-hmm. How's he doing with it? Is he doing okay with the ice cream franchise?
They're doing all right. Mm-hmm. You know, it is a struggle because of the depressed economy. And, of course, in the wintertime, people don't buy the ice cream as much. Mm-hmm. But it's surviving. They run it with a lot of family members because my mom and my sister work up there sometimes. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we do what we have to do. Mm-hmm. And that's... We've seen a lot of people that are entrepreneurs. My dad's put it very well many, many years, that an entrepreneur is someone who works 40-hour weekends.
Yeah.
So many people are, they want to be entrepreneurs, but they want banker hours.
Yeah.
If you want banker hours, go work at a bank.
Yeah.
You know, you have to be willing to put in the time it takes to do the business.
Yeah.
If your business requires you, you have to work on Sundays occasionally because you got an employee sick, you got to do it. You own the business. You have to do what you have to do. So, you know, like the security business, one of the reasons my boss wants to sell it is he's getting older and he's tired of 3 a.m. wake-up calls.
Yeah.
So you do have to weigh the cost and do have to understand when you go do your own business, you're on call whenever your business is open.
Yeah.
If your business is open, you're on call. You either have to find somebody to cover hours or you have to cover the hours yourself.
There's a commonality between your brother and yourself, and I wanted to point this out, and that is that you started in the security company, he started in the ice cream shop. You're both eventually taking over what you were trained in, what you were mentored in. Boy, I think that is an ideal way in which you learn the business. You get involved, mm-hmm. In the mailroom of a small business, which means you're making ice cream. Then you supervise the ice cream makers. And I've heard this a number of times from young men. I just interviewed a guy's father. The guy's 18 years old, and he owns a coffee shop in Castle Rock, Colorado. But it all began over the last 3 to 4 years, from the time he was 14 or 15 years of age, when he was working in the restaurant business and eventually became a manager at 15 or 16 years of age. And then at 18, now he owns his own coffee shop. But he had to pay the dues. He had to be mentored in the business. And it seems to me that's a recipe for success.
Yeah, it's what we've noticed along this road is that a lot of people seem to think, well, an entrepreneur is someone who starts their own business and they just start it from scratch.
Yeah.
And people seem to avoid anything that requires government mandated education. And we need to realize that because we're in a socialist country now, and because everything is government mandated, sometimes you just have to pay the price. You have to take the training they require. If it requires college, you got to take the college. Even if it's not something that you consider a good thing to do, like going off to college, there's still options around like online college and that. But you have to be willing to pay the price to do what you can do. And, when the economy collapses, there will be a need for people that know their business and who can do those things, but we won't have the schools around anymore. The schools will disappear. As you were saying, the college bubble is about to burst. And you can move from the government mandated college education into being able to teach people what they need to know to be able to work in your industry.
Mm-hmm. Brandon, what is your vision for the future? I mean, you're looking at the future, you're seeing that there will be economic struggles in the future, but what is your vision? I mean, are you a hopeful guy? Are you optimistic? How are you preparing yourself for your future family, for your future economic situation?
There is a lot of hope for the future. There is a lot of opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to start now. You have to, when the government collapses, when economies crash, people look to the people who seem to still be successful. As the economy gets worse, as the moral structure of our country deteriorates further, there will always be a need for security.
Mm-hmm.
It's a must have. Eventually it'll get to the point where people will be cutting off their cable instead of their security, because it's more important to protect their family and their things than it is to watch TV.
Mm-hmm.
So really the aim is get into an industry that is indispensable.
Mm-hmm.
Get into an industry that people still have to use, mm-hmm. or something they still want to use, even if they have to pinch pennies elsewhere. You need to be somewhere where people still need it.
Mm-hmm.
Candy making is going to go away. That's not necessarily a good industry in a depressed economy, because that's going to disappear. People will cut that kind of stuff. You have to get away from we do a specialty cupcake shop and get into we own a small local restaurant or something similar that's in a depressed economy, people still eat out.
Mm-hmm.
It's a treat, but they still do it. So you really do have to look for what will survive better than other things. But, you know, I'm trying to build the industry because there still is a lot of market for it. And I do see that there is quite a lot of potential in my industries. And people always need housing. People always need security. And so my hope is to be able to build this business and to have my children come along and work with me and alongside me and to be able to build a family business. And I'd like a piece of property and be able to do a lot of my own raising of animals and that kind of stuff for my own meat and vegetables. Mm. And to be able to self-support and then to be able to, with what I can produce above that, reach out to, first of all, my extended family, then to my Christian brothers and sisters, and then to my community in general, to be able to become the person that when you need help, that's who you turn to, because we, as Christians, that's who we need to be.
Yeah, yeah, and I think
we need our communities to see this Christian businessman is who you go to if you're struggling. Because they'll bend over backwards to help you if you're truly in need, not go to the government who does whatever.
Mm-hmm. That's quite a vision for a young man. I appreciate what you just said. I don't think we ought to be depending on Barack Obama to satisfy all our needs. We're going to have to fix that in our own families and communities and churches. And you got a great vision that in that direction. What's your goal for getting married? Where do you want to be? I mean, your personal goals, nothing that you would impose on anybody else. But what have you set out economically? Where do you want to be when you get married?
I want to be at a point where I can purchase even maybe a $10,000-$15,000 house so that I can provide a roof over my family's head and provide food and the necessities of life. I see a lot of Christian young people who family is so emphasized that they seem to think, well, I'll get married at 18, 19.
Yeah.
But personally, I think I really need to wait until I can support the family.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it used to be you didn't get married when you were 18.
Yeah.
And back in Israel, back even, 150 years ago in this country, you worked, you built a business, you got your career or whatever. And when you were able to support yourself independent of your father, that's when you got married.
Yeah.
Because if you can't support yourself, you're draining further resources from your father and you're not being a benefit. You're not having a positive impact on the family economy.
Yeah.
You're having a negative effect on it because you went and overburdened the economy before it was ready.
That's the Proverbs, build your fields, then build your house. So very, very important proverb. And that's what they did. That's what Almanza Wilder did. A lot of these guys were married at 22, 23, 24, not 18, 19. It did take them a number of years to get those fields planted in South Dakota. And then once they had their fields planted, Almanza Wilder found Laura. And Laura was married at some 16, 17 years of age. So, you know, not unusual for ladies to be married fairly early on. But the young men, they had to go out and get their fields, build their cabin, and then they brought Laura in. And I don't think a whole lot has changed since then. I mean, you know, you don't always build fields. You're going to have to get a security business going, but you're going to have to do something.
You know, it's just a lot of young men seem to, like you were talking about, we're escapists now. We're going to internet or gaming or whatever. But a lot of young men, I'm going to get married and whatever. But it's like, okay, what's your plan before that? You know, we don't have the mindset that we need to have of, I need to build now, because if you get married when you're 18, 19, 20, and you're just barely getting started, like you said, entrepreneurship costs up front.
Yeah.
There's a lot of risk. There's a lot of cost up front to getting something built. You have to pour a lot of time, a lot of energy, a lot of money into getting stuff started. And if you go and burden yourself additionally with family on top of that, right in your early stages, your business will be negatively affected because you've got a wife you've got to spend time with as well as your business, and you've got to divide your resources. So your business will be negatively affected and it will grow slower, and your family will not, you will really struggle with your family in the first several years because you don't have anything to set aside. You don't have anything built up to support that.
Yeah.
You know, it's the equivalent of you taking, you know, a rock, you know, big 500-pound object and setting it on top of a teepee made out of three sticks you found in the woods, and you didn't actually build a support structure. Yeah. If you don't build beforehand, it will bow, it will collapse, things will break. And you really have to have some sort of a support structure to be able to support what you put on top.
Well, Brandon, that's a good vision, and I appreciate you sharing that with our audience, because at 20 years of age, you certainly have a great deal of wisdom, and I think you have your parents to thank for that. I wish you the best. We'll be praying for the success of your businesses, and we would really like you to be involved in our Family Economics Conference, if at all possible. If you can come by, we'll put you on the Young Entrepreneur Panel, which, by the way, I'm very excited about, the Young Entrepreneur Panel. We have people coming from all over the United States, young men, 20, 21, 22, 24 years of age, who I think have a great story to tell. And together, it's going to make a power-packed panel at our Family Economics Conference coming up on March 8th through 10th of 2012 in Chicago, Illinois. By the way, for more information on that, it's FamilyEconomics2012.com. Hey, Brandon, thanks so much for joining us on Generations. We appreciate what you're doing.
Okay, and I did want to just mention one more thing.
Yeah.
Something that my father has said is people look at it and say, there, you have the theory of economics that's a pie, that you got to get your slice of pie. And his theory is there is no pie. Mm-hmm. People look at it as, I want my slice of pie. There is no pie. You build wealth, you create wealth by putting work into it.
You make the pie.
And yeah, you have to build it. You have to, you know, you can take dirt that's worthless to most people, but you compost down cow patties and you mix it with dirt and whatever, and you bag it up, and then you can sell it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even something as common as water.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the water industry is a multi-million dollar industry.
Yeah. It's
amazing. Selling water.
It's amazing, yeah. And a pie is not limited. It's something you just add to all the time by more work. And your father is very wise in that regard. Very, very fundamental economic principle there. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I have a lot of hope for the future, a lot of hope for the future. And a lot of it is because of what you just heard on the Generations Radio broadcast. As we interview the young entrepreneurs and we find out that there is vision out there, we find out that there is something incredibly powerful working in the hearts and minds of young men who are getting ready for life, and they do have a vision. And while the rest of the world is, well, sort of perishing, and while the rest of the world has no vision, they are perishing, there is some vision. There is some vision, and it is happening because of discipleship going on in many of these homes across the country. But also, you have young men who are carrying on the vision. They're getting it. And hopefully they will be raising their own families for the glory of God. And we will see some kind of a social system survive in the years to come as we teach the word of God to our children, as we apply it, and as we do these practical things. I mean, getting out of bed and working in the morning to the glory of God and for the purposes of raising families for the glory of God. Hey, these are worthwhile endeavors. It's a great vision. And this is what God wants us doing. Ergo, read the Word of God. You're going to find some info on that. And come down to our Family Economics Conference, friends. If you're going anywhere in 2012, and this is probably the most practical conference you're going to find, a lot of vision, but also hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of practical ideas coming through the workshops and the panels on how to work with your family economy, not just on entrepreneurism, friends. It's on diversification. It's on mentorship. It's on taking care of your parents in their old age, inheritance, debt-free living. It's just the whole nine yards. If you have a family, you have a family economy, do something about it. Get some vision and start planning a healthy family economy for the years to come. And you can do that by attending our Family Economics Conference coming up in 2012, March 8th through 10th of 2012. More information, it's FamilyEconomics2012.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.